Galatians 5:13. And we are continuing with looking at preventive church discipline. And we can see that preventive church discipline takes place when we are willing to love and forgive one another. Amen. If we are willing to do that, it will easily take place because we're all have a spirit of humility and we're willing to forgive each other. But that means also then that we're willing to go seek forgiveness or we're willing to tell somebody that's wronged us that they've wronged us. It means we're not going to hold on to something. We're not going to hold a grudge and fester on that and let it bother us more and more. We're going to go to the person. We're going to seek them out. These are all things that help us to keep this body healthy when these things are going to occur, because they will. Someone's going to say something that bothers us, that offends us. They're going to do something that offends us or bothers us. And it doesn't mean every time someone does something that bothers you or offends you, you have to go up to them. Many times, you know, when you just think through it, you're like, oh, I can just forgive them. I can get over that. But sometimes there's those things that maybe you can't do that with. And you're like, no, it really bothers me. I need to go talk to them. So go talk to them so you can work it out. That's exactly what we need to do. And all of that stuff is for the betterment of this body and also for our own spiritual health. It doesn't do us personally any good if we hold on to anger or frustration, because it just turns to bitterness. And that's only going to harm us. First, more than anyone, and it will affect the body as well. So we want to make sure that we're willing to love and forgive one another. Now, we're there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty," here it is, "for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." What a warning that is. What a warning. If ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord, asking you to help us. Lord, that this, even right now, as these messages are being preached, this is preventive church discipline. Lord, it always is, every time the Bible's opened. Even when we just read it, Lord, it's preventive discipline, because it's always an opportunity for you to speak to us and teach us and help us to get something right with you. And God, I pray you do that right now. You'd help us to learn from this, Lord, even if we don't need it now, that it's something we just store away for in the future when we do need it. And God, thank you that we have this building to meet in, the heat that we have right now, Lord God, the health that we have, the families that we have, Lord, each other, this body. And most importantly, Lord, we have you as our Savior. That no matter what comes, Lord, we have you. And God, thank you that we live in liberty and we don't have to worry about the police or something busting in and arresting us for simply wanting to worship and serve you. Thank you for that, Lord God. I pray that you'd bless the preaching of your word, Lord, and use it to teach us. And God, that you would help each of us to be disciples, and that we would be serious about following you. And God, you would be the desire of our hearts, that nothing else would get in the way of that. And if something is in the way, Lord, you'd reveal it to us and show us, and we can get it off of your throne, put it in its right place, and put you where you belong. God, help us to do that. Please speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we looked at Galatians, and it talks about not using our liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but serving one another. And it says, by love, we're to serve one another. Now, if we will get busy serving one another through love, there's going to be no need for petty disputes or discipline needing to take place. See, if we're all looking to what we can do for somebody else rather than what they can do for us or what can be done for me, or looking at my own and myself, but rather what can I do for somebody else? If by love I will seek to serve you, or by love you will seek to serve me, or whoever it may be, doesn't matter, we would serve one another, that's going to do away with a lot of the problems, a lot of the issues that we may feel that we have. And I'm not saying anybody does, but when we get so self-focused rather than others focused, that's when the problems start to arise. Amen. So if we can all constantly think that, no, it's not about me, how can I serve the other members of this body. That's where the key is at. That's what we need to do. We've been called unto liberty. God's given us liberty. The problem is that many times we can use that liberty for an occasion to the flesh. So I can gratify myself. And God says, but on the other hand, don't do that. Don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love. And I take that to two ways. I take it to mean my love for God. Okay? You know, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. So my love for God. And then also my love for who? For mankind. Okay, vertical and horizontal. Okay, what's the second greatest commandment? The second commandment is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor, how? As thyself. So, but by love, serve one another. So if I love God right, then if my relationship with God is what it should be, my relationship with others will be what it should be. Or it'll be on the path to be what it should be because I'll be right. Fixing it. Okay, that's what it means. It doesn't mean we're always going to have everything right, but it means when I get things right with God, then I'll get things right with others. Okay? So, by love, we serve one another. Serve means, it says this is a verb. This verb is supposed to be from the noun service, meaning a servant or slave, and this from servo, meaning to keep. So, the definition for serve would basically be to be a servant or a slave, to keep what's committed to you, basically. To keep what you're supposed to keep what you're owner, which is the Lord, has told you to do. So we're to serve one another. That's what God told us. To serve, another definition is to work for, to bestow the labor of body and mind in the employment of another. So to work for somebody. So what does that other person need? See, when we're a servant, we're not looking at self, we're looking at others. And that's how God says we're to be, but by love, serve one another. He said, doesn't say serve yourself. We already know how to do that and we're all pretty good at it. Okay, he says, but by love, serve one another. Serve somebody else. Help somebody else out. We ought to come to church saying, how can I be a blessing to someone else? How can I help somebody else? You know, we ought to go to work saying, how can I be a blessing? How can I be a help to somebody else? When we get home, you know, it ought to be husbands, hey, maybe it's, hey, how can I be a blessing to my wife? How can I be a help to my wife? Instead of her doing the dishes, maybe I can jump in and do the dishes. Instead of her doing the laundry, maybe I can jump in and do the laundry. I mean, seriously, that's some of that stuff. By love, serve one another. I know I'm taking it outside the context of our church, but this is what it means. I mean, let's represent Jesus Christ everywhere. Let's, by love, serve one another. Serve other people. He goes on to say, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There it is. By love, serve one another. And that's exactly what he goes to. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And that's what we need to do. We need to work for others. We need to bestow our labor for someone else's sake, not our own. If we truly loved others as we do ourselves, it would be evident in our actions toward each other. All of us naturally know how to take care of ourselves. That's why Jesus said to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Because I know how to love myself. I know how to do the things that I want, the things that I desire. So if that's natural to me, so now I just need to put that type of thinking towards my neighbor. Okay, and in the context of what we're looking at, preventive church discipline, there'll be no need for church discipline if we all come in here with that mindset. If we all say, I'm going to love everybody else in here as I love myself. I'm going to take care of them as I would take care of myself and my own needs. That's how I'm going to look to them. This is how I'm going to take care of my family. Parents, this will help us. Hey, love everybody in here like you love your children. You do for your children. Every parent, that's just natural. You have to fight nature, okay, to not do that for your child. All right, it is against nature to not love your child. That's why abortion is absolutely against nature. To take your own child's life is just insanity to me. It really is. It's against nature. If we could love everybody in here like we love our children, that would transform all of us. But we need to be reminded of that. This is what we're coming into. And I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings or to make anybody sad. But some people, their children aren't saved. And we're going to be spending eternity with the people in here and not even our own children, maybe. So we should really learn how to love one another. That's what we need to learn how to do. That's what God wants from us. It would change our actions towards each other. We need to ask ourselves, when we walk in these doors, here's what we should ask. What do others need me to do for them? What does someone in here need me to do for them? How can I help or be a blessing to somebody that's a member of this body? What do they need from me? If we could start coming with that mentality, that might maybe change some things. I'm serious. Go home and think about it. Think about someone in this church. Say, what do they need from me? How can I be a help to them? And if someone asks what they could do for you, don't just say nothing. Say, hey, you know what? Here, I need this. Give them something to do. Let them be a help. I know most of us, you know, it's the American mentality kind of kills us. It really does, because the American mentality is like, I'll take care of this, I'll do everything. I mean, it's affected me. That's kind of how I am. I don't like help. I'm like, no, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. We have to learn how to let other people serve us and help us and be a blessing to us as we in turn seek to do that. So if somebody comes up to you, think of something. How can I be a help to you? What do you need? Let them do something for you. I mean, maybe it's work at your house. I don't know. Anything, but let them be a help and a blessing to you. You know, it might take that we have to train ourselves to be servants, and that may be how. You know, what can I do? Maybe we help each other learn to be servants, because it doesn't come natural, I can tell you that much. Once we start serving with love as our motive, we won't do it for fleshly, selfish reasons. We have to purpose to love others, even those that may annoy us, as we love ourselves. This will help us in the workplace too, by the way. You may work with people that annoy you, you know, but if you can purpose to love others as you love yourselves, it's going to be a big help to you. If we don't regularly practice serving by love, we will devour one another. Verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. So if we don't regularly practice serving by love, eventually it's going to come into biting and devouring one another. And we'll be consumed of one another. That's what we need to do. We need to serve one another. If not, eventually, we're going to bite and devour each other. I've seen it happen in churches. When we're not serving each other in love, when a church isn't doing that, eventually, the biting starts. What do I mean by the biting? The Bible calls it backbiting. The gossip starts. If you notice even in your own life that gossip is starting, you're gossiping about somebody in church, that's a real quick indicator. Start serving somebody. You need to start serving. You need to do something. Get involved in ministry here. Do something here. You say, well, there's nothing for me. There's nowhere I fit. Well, have you asked? Ask and say, Pastor, I want to serve somewhere. I will find somewhere for you to serve here. I will find something for you to do. I mean, we can have an official rock collector. I don't know. I'll find something for you to do. All right, we'll find something, somewhere for you to serve. God's word says that if we don't love our neighbor as thyself, then we're going to bite and devour one another, and we'll be consumed one of another. It's a destruction from within is what he's talking about. We will destroy each other from within. This is the necessity of church discipline as well. Look, if we're doing everything we can to keep Satan from destroying us, we still have our flesh. You know, there's those three enemies we have that'll never stop: the world, the devil, and the flesh. And the flesh goes with us everywhere we go. So this is why we need to crucify the flesh. One of the ways we can crucify the flesh is by serving one another. Because we don't always want to do that. But that's what we need to do. If not, we will bite and devour one another. It'll slowly just creep in. And you know what? It creeps in so slow, you don't even realize it's happening. Amen. You won't even realize it's taking place because it just starts off innocent. Did you hear what so-and-so said? Did you see what they did? It just starts off real just innocent. Before you know it, you're biting and devouring each other. We are. When we serve self, we devour others because they're not doing for us like we think they should. Selfishness, rather than servanthood, serving one another, will pit us against each other until we're destroyed. So we need to make sure that by love we're serving one another. Through love. We let love motivate us. A love for God and a love for each other. That we would love God for who He is, and we'd love each other as we love ourselves. That'll help us. There'll also be no need for church discipline if we will ask God to reveal and break our hard hearts. If you would go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It's a familiar verse to most all of us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. I highly recommend everybody memorizing this verse. Parents, teach this to your young children, especially as they start fighting with each other. I mean, I'll still sometimes have my children quote this when they start fighting with each other. This is just an excellent verse. I highly recommend everyone memorizing it. Here's what it says, "And be ye kind." That's right there. That in and of itself is good. One to another. To who? To each other. Be kind to each other. One to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, that being kind one to another also means communicating with each other, just being friendly to each other, talking amongst each other. That's kindness. Have you ever had anyone ignore you? You're like, man, they were rude. That's not very kind, is it? Have you ever done that to someone, even on accident, and you didn't know you did it, and they thought you were being rude, and you come to find out about it? You're like, I didn't mean to do that. You didn't even mean to do it, but that's how it came off. So we want to make sure we communicate with each other. That's what fellowship is. It's that communion, that closeness that we have with one another. And that's really what will build the bond, the strength of this church. That's how we can come to the point where we know each other, where we get closer with each other. You know, our tendency, what we tend to do is we kind of link up with those we're already familiar with. Here's what I suggest we do, even on Sunday afternoon when we eat lunch together. Sit with somebody new every week. Don't sit in your regular spot. Go find someone else. You don't have to sit with your family. That goes for all of us. We don't have to sit with our family. That goes for my family too. We don't have to sit as a family. We can break that thing up and just go sit with somebody else. What we do is we start dividing ourselves up. We start fractioning ourselves. And there's little sects within our church even. You understand that's what happens? That's what it is? That's what's going on. Just look on a Sunday afternoon and see. You could see this family here, this one 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 here. That's what's happening. What is that? That's division. Why can't we all just... Because we're all family. See, it's okay to do that. We need to force ourselves to do it sometimes because we just go with what's familiar most of the time. Some of it's just force of habit. We just go with what's familiar. And I understand, you know, couples with young children need to kind of help each other and things like that. But still, even at that, just force yourself to go with someone else, to sit with somebody else, to talk with someone. You're like, I don't have anything in common with them. Well, how do you know? We never talk. If we don't talk, how are we going to get something in common? How are we going to grow to love each other? Talk about the sermon. Talk about, you know, work. I don't know. Just talk about something. Just sit with somebody else so that we can build that fellowship. It's okay for us to do that. It'll be good for us. So it's not like there's little divisions everywhere. And I'm not even saying it's a division, but you understand what I'm saying. It doesn't help the fellowship. I mean, it's a small room, but even in there, times I've seen it all split up and families just kind of having their own little conversation and this one over here having their own little conversation. Let's not do that. Let's have fellowship with each other as a body. I mean, let's get all the stinky feet over here, all the dirty hands over here. You know, we can get the kidneys maybe over here. I mean, just, you understand what I'm saying? Let's just all kind of break it up and talk with one another. So it starts with kindness. Our feelings follow our actions. Therefore, we need to be kind to one another. And be ye kind one to another. Our feelings follow our actions. Remember, we say love's an action word. That's why it's charity, not love. And when it describes it in 1 Corinthians 13, it uses the word charity rather than love because it's an action word. It's love in action. Our feelings follow our actions. You know, that's how God works. He said, you want your faith to grow? Then exercise your faith. Do something about it, and then you'll get more faith. Oh, you want more understanding? Then do something about it. Then obey what I've shown you, and I'll give you more understanding. You know, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God says, I'll show you more. Continue in what you know, I'll show you more. See, our feelings follow our actions, therefore we need to be kind. In, if you would, we're in Ephesians, go to Ephesians 4:17. It says there, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of your mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Look at this. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. So it says that these people are past feeling. Who? What people? The Gentiles, okay? And look at the warning that Paul's giving to the Ephesians. He says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Don't walk like them. So he's warning us against this. And what's he warning against? He's saying, hey, don't get past feeling. Don't harden your heart. That's Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted. Don't let your heart get hard. Don't get past feeling where you just don't care, that callousness. They've done a bunch of experiments in different places, and my kids were just telling me about one. I think in their psychology class, they watched a video of somebody, people that were, they hired actors to act as if they were hurt in, you know, different big cities, and almost nobody would go help them. And they interviewed people afterwards, and finally when somebody did go help, then others jumped in and started helping. And they asked them, they said, well, how come you didn't go help them? And everybody said, I thought somebody else was going to do something. What is that? That's a hardness of heart. That's a callousness. That's a getting past feeling. And God's warning us against that. He said, don't do that. That's how the Gentiles are. My people shouldn't be that way. We need to be kind one to another. How does that happen? By having a soft heart, by not letting our hearts get hard, by not getting past feeling. Well, how do we do that? By keeping God number one, by loving God with all thy heart, mind, and soul, and loving my neighbor as myself. That's how we do that, by not thinking about self. When we think about self, pride. You ever met a proud person? You're like, they won't listen to anything. Why? Because they're hard. They know everything. They've got it, and they're doing it their way. They won't even listen to the possibility that they could be wrong. Because it's selfishness. They're not a servant. They're self-focused. So it gets a hard heart. They may be the sweetest person, but they can have a heart as a rock. So what breaks that down? By love. Serve one another. So to help us correct emotions, we need to practice the correct actions. And it's not that our feelings or emotions don't matter. They do. God gave them to us. They are important. We don't dismiss them. They're important no matter if it's, you know, sorrow, sadness, joy, anger. They mean something. God gave them to us for a reason. So it's not that they don't matter, but rather we need the correct emotions at the correct time. So in order to have the correct emotions, we need to practice the correct actions. Correct actions lead to a tender heart, which makes it easy to forgive. Again, be ye kind. So that's what we need to do. Why? If we're kind, if we have the correct actions, that'll help us to have a tender heart toward one another. And if we can do that, as it goes on to say, we'll be tender-hearted and then we'll be able to forgive, forgiving one another. Now, Christ's forgiveness is what we're striving for and what we can attain if we will practice this, if we will have the right actions, if we will be kind, then we'll have a tender heart, which will allow us to forgive each other just as Christ forgave us. That's what Ephesians 4:32 is teaching us. That's what we can do. That's what we need to do. But our feelings follow our actions, so it starts with kindness, being kind one to another. So, are we being the servants that God wants us to be? Are you being the servant? Is it about you? Is it selfishness? Or are you willing to be kind to one another? Are we willing to love each other as we should? Love as brethren. To love each other like the family that we are. Amen. Like the body that we are. We all know how to love ourselves. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, if you're a member of this church, you're a part of this body. So love yourself in that regard. Love yourself. What does that mean? Love everyone else in here. Love yourselves. That's what it means. By love, serve one another. Be a servant. Be a servant. Why? It's not about you. It ultimately comes down to for His glory. For His glory. But man, I want peace. Amen. Maybe I'm a little selfish in regard to that. But that's what I would like in this body forever, from here on out. And I like this. Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but look at this, it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Hey, I want to serve God with peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hey. And if we'll keep a tender heart, we can. I don't want to be a Christian that has just a miserable time all the time, never any joy, always grumpy. What kind of testimony is that for God? I want joy. I go to work and I laugh. I mean, me and one of the guys there, we're always picking on each other, making fun of each other. We have a good time. We laugh. I expect it from him. He expects it from me. I mean, he gives me a hard time. He got me good today. He gets me good all the time. I get him good too. But he'll just make fun of me left and right. And we laugh about it. We go and have fun. See, I want to have a life that's full of joy. I want to come here and have joy, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what God wants in His kingdom. That's what He wants here. But if we don't have a tender heart, it's not going to happen. How does that happen? We need to have the right actions then. We need to be kind. We need to, by love, what do we need to do? You all help me. Serve one another. Serve one another. Then that means the focus and the attention has to come off of me. And it needs to be put on everybody else. What does everybody else need? That's the attitude that we need to have when we walk through those doors. What does everybody else here need? Now, I'm not saying there's not times when we're hurting spiritually or something like that and we do need to come in here and we need something. I'm not saying that doesn't happen, that we need something and we never look to ourselves. I mean, obviously, if we cut ourselves or we injure our body, we look and we tend to that and we take care of that, and that part of the body needs help. So if there's something going on, if there's, you know, you're under some spiritual attack or something, or even just something physically is wrong with you or emotionally is wrong with you, it doesn't mean that you don't need help and the body doesn't need to come to your aid and to help you and to encourage you and to exhort you and to lift you up. It's not to say that. It's talking about for in general, when things are going, you know, as they should, and everything in life for the most part is okay, that we're here to serve one another. And guess what? If you come with the attitude of, hey, I want to serve you guys, and everyone else comes with the attitude of, hey, I want to serve you guys, then guess what? We'll be mutually helping each other. And we'll be building each other up. Let's go to Ephesians 4. Let me find the verse that we want. I know I had us turn to Romans. Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, we'll pick up in... oh, let's see, verse 15. "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body," look at this, "fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth," look at this, "according to the effectual working in the measure of every part," here it is, "making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself," in what? In love. The edifying, that means the building up of itself. In love. Every member, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together, every member fitting their part. Every member here being what they ought to be. Coming here to serve, fitly joined together. Just like, man, look at that. My arm, it just keeps doing that. My fingers, look, they work. It's not, nothing's out of joint. Everything's exactly where it's supposed to be. My feet are kicking, they're working. Everything's working. My heart's pumping. Every part of my body is what it's doing, what it's supposed to do. It's where it needs to be. It's fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Every joint, every part of my body, just like every part of your body, is doing exactly what it needs to do. And what does it mean? When that takes place, what's it talking about? It says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. The effectual working in the measure of every part. Every part's doing what it's supposed to do. What's that mean? Is every part doesn't come here and say, hey, what about me? You take care of me. No, every part's, I got a job to do. I'm here to do my job within this body. That's what it means. To the effectual, every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. And look at this, it maketh increase of the body unto the what? The edifying of itself, the building up. See, when we come and we help each other and you're looking to serve me and I'm looking to serve you and vice versa, all of that, we're looking to serve each other, we're going to build each other up. We're going to strengthen each other. Because your strengths will take up for my weaknesses. You understand? Your strengths will take up for each other's weaknesses. We'll help each other out. That's why every one of us is needed. Every one of us. There's not a one of us that's not needed here. Every one of us is needed. Are we willing to fit our part? See, this is preventive discipline. When we all come with the attitude of being a servant, looking, how can I help somebody? What can I do to serve them? It'll help us. It'll keep this body strong. It'll build this body up. It'll grow this body as well. See, our church ought to be different than everything else that calls itself a church. People ought to come here and see, man, these people, there's something different there. It's different there than other churches I've been to. It's like they love each other. Didn't Jesus say, that's how all men shall know you're my disciples? If you have what? Love one to another. That's how he said you'll know the difference. See, that ought to be evident right here. When somebody walks in here, they're like, man, those people love each other. It really ought to be something different that you won't experience anywhere else. That's what it ought to be like when people walk in here. Something completely different. They might not even be able to put their finger on it, but they're just saying, I know something's different there. I like it. And I'm not saying that's what is going to win people to the Lord. It's going to be our witness. But, hey, God can use that as well. You know, when you look at the studies they've done on gangs and why young people join gangs, they might not even agree with them, but they can associate with them. And they found someone that will accept them, that will give them what they need, the attention that they need. And that's why people join gangs for the most part when they do those studies. It's not that they're looking, I want to be a lifelong criminal, you know, I'd like to go to prison and, you know, spend half my life in prison, maybe murder a couple people and sell drugs and all that. That's not why they join gangs. They're looking for something. Maybe we could help give that to them. If we're willing to love one another. And to show that love, express that love to those that come in those doors. We really should. With as much enthusiasm as we can, welcome anybody that walks in these doors that we've never seen before. And also each other that we have seen before. You know, it may sound ridiculous, but when we do the shaking of hands time, even though I just shook hands with everybody like 5 minutes before that, I still like it. I still love it. I still enjoy it. And I'm still glad you're here. When I tell you that twice, it's because it's true. I'm glad you're here. Amen. But we can give people something that they don't have. Why can't they find it here in the Lord's church? This is the greatest place they could find it. This is what they need more than anything. This will help them more than anything. Why should we be the same as some club out there? or some gang or something. People finding some, you know, what they need in a gang or in some club or whatever, that it's, oh, it's the same fellowship I've seen over here in the bowling league I've got. What? What? We should be so close to each other. Why? Because we serve each other by love. By love, serve one another. What can I do for you? How can I be a help here? You ever been to a restaurant and the server like expects you to go get everything? No. You don't go to a restaurant and get that. You expect them to bring you stuff. They're the servant. That's what the word is, server. They serve you. They're a servant for you. Seriously, you go to a restaurant, you just wave your hand like that, they come over to you. Because they're serving you. This is what we're to do for one another. What do you need? Oh, let me get right away. Let me get there. That's what we're to be for each other. If we all have that attitude, there'll be no need for church discipline. That attitude, though, is fostered through fellowship. Oh, just bringing us together, building a strong bond. That's what we need. That's what will help us. Let's pray. Father, we love you.